Welcome everybody to our Zoom meeting this evening. Tonight we have the ancient landmark from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. And this is far more than just a commentary on the importance of property boundaries. It's actually a lesson regarding the importance, the significance of the Word of God. So before we get started tonight, Brother Tom, would you open in prayer, please? Amen. This passage tonight is a reference to the significance, the perpetual nature of the Word of God. Sometimes we sing that hymn, Holy Bible, Book Divine, Precious Treasure, Thou Art Mine. And this reminds us of the abiding significance. It's a reflection of the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He has given us His Word that we might live by it. We often say that it's intended to be our guidebook for our faith and practice. And again, we sometimes sing that hymn, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. We have the Bible, the revelation of the Scriptures to guide us in our conduct, to shape our attitudes and our opinions on events and incidents in our lives. It does provide a firm foundation. Again, we sing that hymn, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. And that hymn has a rather debated history as well. It first appeared in a hymnal in 1787, and it was credited to an author by the initial K, and historians debate exactly who that was. It was published in a hymnal by a pastor in London. But though the authorship is debated, the message of the hymn is very clear, and it has united different people from different geographical areas, from different denominations. It was the favorite hymn of the Confederate general, Robert E. Lee, and it was sung at his funeral in 1870. It was also the hymn that was sung at the funerals of President Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, two presidents from the opposite ends of the political spectrum, and yet they both had a love for this particular hymn. And it has served as a firm reminder of the truth of Scripture and how the Bible ought to influence us and guide us and direct us in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. This verse tonight in Proverbs chapter 22, remove not the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. And this again, like many of the Proverbs, is seemingly a random commentary on some ordinary event. It deals with property rights and boundaries. And certainly the practical application is clear. As we shall see, there is vast comment in Scripture on the importance of boundaries, the erection of stone pillars and monuments and fences to separate boundaries and to determine land parameters. But as with even the Lord's parables, the use of practical everyday references and illustrations was intended to teach a deeper spiritual meaning. And we can see that here if we look a little bit closer at this instruction that is here given in Proverbs 22:28. Remove not the ancient landmark. To get a better understanding of that, we must look at the word here that is rendered in the English as ancient. In the Hebrew, it has an even deeper meaning. It refers to perpetual, not just ancient or old, but perpetual, long established and long standing, even permanent. This says, remove not the ancient landmark. And although the verb or the noun is singular, it really has reference to a plural application. The landmark in the mind of the ancient Israelite had reference to that partition of the land, of the promised land that was ordained by God, that was conducted by Joshua. And as they drew lots to apportion the various land tracts of the 12 tribes of Israel, this reference to the landmark as they separated each tract of land by stone fences and boundaries, it was important that they acknowledged the will of God in the apportionment of their land. It was He who had given them the land, who had promised that heritage to the children of Israel. And it was God who promised to maintain that presence as long as they obeyed His commandments and did His will. As long as they looked to Him, then they would receive His blessing and benefit from His presence in their midst. The landmark then referenced the sacred nature of property ownership. Throughout the ceremonial civil law of Israel, they had specific details of how they were to handle property. And of course, as with all things, we are to hold the things of this life loosely. But at the same time, there's an emphasis on stewardship and proper administration of what God has given to us. And the maintenance of the property borders that have been long established, even back as far as the division of the land of Palestine, the land of Canaan, the promised land, emphasized the significance of property and the necessity of maintaining it. They were given specific instructions for inheritance. They were given details as to how to apportion it among the heirs, and even how to restore it. After times of jubilee, debts were to be eliminated and slavery was to be canceled, and original property rights were to be restored. So God had a solemn place in His sovereign purpose for Old Testament Israel, even as He has for us, to recognize land boundaries. Deuteronomy 19, verse 14, had first introduced this prohibition against moving or removing the boundaries of land, of property divisions. Solomon mentions it here, and he repeats the same prohibition against moving those boundaries and removing the landmarks in Proverbs 23, verse 10. It was such a crime to remove land boundaries that it was even described as cursed by God if anyone would do such. And that extends the issue of property ownership even beyond the land itself. It is a reflection of the natural greed and selfishness that often guides and dictates human behavior. And this prohibition against removing the boundaries thus was a caution against unrestrained dealings with other people, failing to recognize their property rights as we pursue our own self-interest. So the importance of land boundaries was recognized by God. It was acknowledged by Him in His Word, and even affirmed by the people in Deuteronomy 27:17 as God had cursed anyone who would take away those boundaries. The people unanimously said amen. They accepted and they affirmed the commitment to the sacred nature of property boundaries. Stone pillars and boundaries were a long reference in the history of Israel to important events. Joshua had been instructed by God to tell the leaders of each tribe to take great stones from the middle of the Jordan River, to amass them on a pile across the river near Jericho, to remind them of God's faithfulness and how he had delivered them across the mighty River Jordan, a river which was normally about 100 feet wide. But in the spring floods at the time in which they crossed, it was more than a mile in width, with raging floodwaters. And yet, like God had parted the Red Sea, he parted the Jordan and enabled them to cross on dry ground. Those 12 stones that were taken from the middle of the river and piled on the banks of Jordan near Jericho were then to be a constant reminder of God's faithfulness. And therefore, we see the symbolism of this reference to the ancient landmark, that this purpose of commemorating God's blessings and God's faithfulness is something that we ought to practice and ought to remember as well. And we remember that faithfulness and the mighty acts, the mighty works of God, as we read His holy word, His revelation of truth to us. And thus this instruction to remove not the ancient landmark has a reference not just to property, but to the holy word, the revelation of God's truth. We are reminded that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And throughout the Old and the New Testament, we're told several times that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8, 1 Peter 2, verse 25. And thus, the importance, the significance, the perpetual relevance of the Bible. And this is emphasized again in Scripture as they were prohibited, as we are prohibited, from either adding to or taking away. It's a central theme of God's instruction for the handling of His Word in the Law of Moses, as expressed in Deuteronomy. And then in the closing chapter of Revelation by the Apostle John, we are reminded of the danger of adding our philosophies, our thoughts, our traditions to the Word of God, or taking away from those truths that He has preserved for us. We are indeed cautioned regarding the great danger, even the eternal danger, of turning away from what God has revealed to us. It says, remove not the ancient landmark that thy fathers have set. And this acknowledges God's provision in the past, but also the past faithfulness of those who have held to not just the Old Testament boundary divisions, the significance of the tribal territories, but the biblical impact of God's people as we are instructed to hold fast to those things that remain, to remember God's truth and the abiding nature of His guide for our faith and our conduct. He cautions us against turning away from it, the dangers of disobeying His word. Just as the Old Testament Israelites were reminded of the necessity of holding fast to His word, of obeying it, submitting to it, even after the Israelites demanded a king, like the rest of the nations, Samuel cautioned them against it, reminding them that God was their king, their eternal king. And yet, even when it became clear that they were to have a human king, a human monarch, the principle of obedience to the word of God still remained. and even after the division of the kingdoms, there were times of God's presence and His blessing, even among the northern tribes, at times when they did humble themselves, when they did listen to His word, and when they sought His guidance, then they were blessed. The kings of the northern kingdom were far worse than the kings of Judah. But nevertheless, the principle of God, even for pagan kings, of worldly rulers, is that obedience to the word of God results in blessing. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us that if God's people humble ourselves and turn to Him, look to Him in prayer, He will hear our prayers and He will heal our land. And this is a promise that has manifested itself in many of the governments of world history, at times when even pagan kings have responded, even as the psalmist says, that it is God who guides the hearts and turns the hearts of worldly kings. When they obey Him, there's blessing. Not only a reward and an evidence of God's favor in their governments, but particularly peace and prosperity for the people of God. And this then is a responsibility of Christians even today, to live in submission to the Word of God. Again, we are instructed of the necessity of holding fast to those things that remain, to recognize the importance of history. It's often said that those who forget the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it. And this is true not just in the political sense, but in the theological realm as well. Too many times we follow our own self-interest, our own self-will, and we forget the historical lessons of theology and biblical truth that have been fought in the past. Too many times we revisit old theological arguments for the sake of some new tradition, some new interpretation, when in reality, God's word has not changed. His word remains true. And we need to recognize the importance of holding fast to those ancient truths. We are, of course, cautioned against elevating human tradition to the level of Scripture. But in matters where the Bible is clear, there is no need to revisit and to rehash such old arguments. We need to submit to God's word in faith, to trust what He has revealed to our forefathers of the past, those faithful ones recorded in Scripture, to learn from the lessons of their lives so that we do not repeat the errors and the sins that they faced. God is a merciful God, but He blesses obedience and He chastens those of His people who turn away from His revealed will. This importance of Scripture, the importance of holding fast to the Word of God, we see that playing out in our culture, the so-called cancel culture, where there are efforts to remove historical monuments and plaques and any landmarks which acknowledge historical figures of the past. It has long been a practice of communist and totalitarian governments to remove people's memories of the past by eliminating the historical statues and redefining the characters even of the people involved, emphasizing their negative characteristics and neglecting to acknowledge what their true contributions were. Even the historical figures of the Bible had their flaws. But rather than glossing over them or eliminating them completely, the Word of God reveals their human natures so that the mercy and the grace and the purpose of God might be revealed. And that is the purpose of all history, that we learn from it, that we not repeat it. And thus this effort in our culture to remove all the monuments and to tear down anything that is offensive to their minds is a dangerous trend. but we've seen it in the matters of the church as well. And we are cautioned to hold fast to the biblical truths that God has revealed down through the centuries, and to apply those lessons of the past, that we do not repeat those same errors. We are to remove not the ancient landmark. And again, this is not merely a caution or a prohibition against taking away property divisions. Property divisions, property borders are necessary and important. Even the pagan cultures have recognized their significance. The Romans, in their pantheon of gods, had a deity specifically assigned to maintaining property borders. And thus we see that even in the darkness of pagan philosophy and pagan theology, they recognized this biblical importance of preserving land boundaries, recognizing the sanctity of property, even as we ought to recognize the sanctity of human life. Remove not the ancient landmark that has been set by thy fathers. This too acknowledges the faithfulness of past generations as they maintained properties, as they recorded deeds, as they sought to preserve that which was legally and rightfully theirs. We too are to hold fast to that which we have inherited, that understanding of Scripture that is recorded for us in the pages of church history, recognizing particularly that the Bible is true and that it has an application for us today. We must preserve it. God has marvelously preserved His Word despite all of the efforts of men and devils to destroy it, to discount it, to retranslate it into such a diluted form that it doesn't resemble what it truly meant. But even for many of the so-called translations which have purposely sought to detract from God's truth, it is said that 95% of the original text in such cases remains intact. And even in the flawed versions, the flawed translations, God's truth seeps through, and the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit can direct people to salvation and to a growth in the faith and the practice of God's Word, perhaps even guiding them to the more reliable translations, the preserved texts, which more accurately relay the historical truth of Christianity and the Word of God. So we are instructed to hold fast to these truths, to recognize that while there is a danger of human tradition, there is also the significance of holding fast to what has historically been understood and practiced by the people, by the saints of God, down through the ages. The ancient landmark, property, but more importantly, the Word of God, is to be preserved, is to be reverenced, and to be practiced in the lives of His people. We call it the Holy Bible because it is the revealed Word of our God. It is that tangible print that contains from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the truth of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, we are to look to it, even as we made reference to that hymn, Holy Bible, Book Divine, Precious Treasure, Thou Art Mine. It's that hymn which guides us in submission and in following the Word of God, as we often sing, Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes spiritually, to open our ears spiritually, that we might hear and that we might recognize, that we might understand, and that we might practice what God has revealed for us in His Holy Word. May the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
tonight regarding the ancient land.